Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. If you haven't had a chance, please head over to the From Within Records website. Pick yourself up a Hardcore Pride crew neck, a 2023 roster poster, or if you want some vinyl, there's new records out by Choice to Make with Nature of Mortality, Warn's Condensing Flesh, and Visions of Mortality's Path to Divinity. Support those bands, support the label. They're all awesome. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please boot up your Twitter, your Instagram, and click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band, for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. Before we get into today's guests, happy belated Edge Day. Edge Day was yesterday. Shout out to all my straight edge people and shout out to all my non-straight edge people. It's a fun holiday to celebrate. I always have to post and show respect to a local Orange County hardcore band called Force of Change. I was fortunate enough to see them once. I saw them in a basement in Redlands. They were playing with Sleeping Giant, if I remember correctly. And it was like this weird, like, oh my God, we're in a church. We want to be respectful, so we don't want to cuss. But it got crazy down there. Shout out Oasis Church. It was a good time. And I'm sad that Force of Change had to hang it up for their own reasons. But I'm still a fan of that band. And it's always cool. One of these long sleeves back here is it's a Force of Change Judge Rip, which is pretty sick. And it's always cool whenever I wear it out and the locals show it respect, because to me, one of my favorite bands ever, because they had an amazing sound and the message that they have is awesome. So that's why every Edge Day, you go to my Instagram story, my Twitter, whatever, I'll be posting Force of Change until the end of time, because I do not want to let anyone forget about that band. They're awesome. If you're not familiar, please boot up your Spotify, Apple Music, and go search up Force of Change, The Bond We Share. And it's awesome because they were around way before these streaming services. So I don't know who's behind it, but whoever is behind putting up that record and keeping that band alive, thank you, because that band means a lot to me. And I just want to share them with people who may not be familiar. So shout out to Force of Change. But today we had a track on our good friend Dylan Wainwright, plays in Deal With God, All For All, and just an overall dedicated hardcore kid, but very much dedicated to his own scene, the Syracuse scene out there in New York. And I'm just so fascinated just following Dylan and just being friends with him and seeing him fighting to keep his scene alive, putting in the work alongside his friends. So I just wanted to reach out and hear about how the scene has changed since the last time we talked, because it seems like since the last time Dylan and I sat here and did this podcast, it's just been going up for them. And part of that is because of the hard work that him and his friends are putting in the scene, but also everybody actually showing up and doing the scene right. So I'm just so fascinated and such a fan of what they have going on up there. And also, I love the bands that Dylan plays in. Deal With God is awesome. All For All is awesome, excuse me. And I'm looking forward to seeing them live at FYA 10. Shout out Bob Wilson. But please, do yourself a favor. If you're not familiar with Deal With God or All For All, hit pause, go boot up your Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Bandcamp, and listen to those bands. And then come back here and listen to Dylan and I peel back the curtain. This is going to be pretty interesting, but it was fun. But please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Dylan Wainwright to the show. All right, and we're recording. Welcome back to the podcast, Dylan. How's it going?
Pretty good. How you been, man?
Same old shit, man. I'm out here trying to, spread awareness for cool shit going on in the scene. Shout out to Hardcore. Just living life. Just trying to enjoy my time here. What about you?
Nothing much, really. It was just working and Hardcore. And I got engaged, so that's fun.
Congrats.
I got engaged like a couple months ago, and other than that, nothing has changed. Other than that, like, aside from like band, like cool band stuff happening, that's all life is work.
But, yeah. A big reason why I wanted to have you back on is because obviously I still follow you on social media. So to see you still going hard and just being really proud of your scene, I think that's so awesome. So I just wanted to tap back in and just kind of hear about it, hear what's changed since the last time you were on, which was a little over like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, man. Yeah. Syracuse is like, honestly, at this point in time, like, stronger than it's been in a very, very long time. Like, there was a lot of dark periods in the scene. I mean, obviously, like, I'm originally from Rochester, so I didn't really grow up going to that many Syracuse shows. I actually only think I've only been to like two, and one wasn't even like really a hardcore show. And I went to a lot of Buffalo shows and Rochester shows like when I was younger. And then like right as I was like graduating high school is when I started like really hanging out with Syracuse people. And that was around like 2016. And then I moved in 2017. But yeah, so like in that period, there wasn't a lot of stuff happening. It was like right before Trail was popping off. And when Trail was a band, there was like a couple shows. But I remember even like compiling all the flyers from like the past 2 years, and it was like a very bleak number of shows happening, like that were like Syracuse hardcore branded shit. And then like obviously like Lucas took the reins and started like booking a shit ton. And then as of like since like the Buried Alive show, that's when I started booking shows in Syracuse, because obviously like there was a lot coming in, and like Lucas has his niche of stuff, and I wanted to take the reins on stuff that like he otherwise like wouldn't have gotten, or just like obviously like I have connections to people that he doesn't and vice versa, so like to kind of like build the scene bigger and like create like more diversity, I kind of took the reins on like booking stuff. And so far it's been awesome. Like there's been so much like diversity, not only just like people, but like the music itself in Syracuse. Like it doesn't matter what kind of hardcore right now, it's like every show will do well. Like you could have like Last Wishes, Adrian, and fucking like Kidnapped. That show did just as well as like Grand Scheme, Wild Side, Mill Spec. Like any show will do well, and it's honestly a fucking gift, because like usually like scenes are kind of like, especially in bigger cities, are a little more like, I don't want to like, there's no dig at them, but like they're a little, I don't want to use the term spoiled because that has like a very, very negative connotation, but like there's too much, and there's on top of that a lot of things to do in those cities outside of hardcore. So it's like kind of like a pick what you want to go to. And if there's like five shows in like 2 weeks, like you're going to pick and choose. But like here, you could have like two shows a week and everyone will be, or at least majority of like people will be at those shows, plus new people every time. So it's like really been on like the up and up and up and up. And I feel like every single show I'm like, what the fuck? There's like a ton of new people, ton of new kids, and it's like cool to like really see something like organic blossom that isn't really like just an extension of what happened years ago. It's like it's very much its own new wave, and it's very, very gratifying, and it's very, very like humbling too, to like kind of, you know, be in this area that has a lot of history, but like the history was taken for granted for a very long time. And now, you know, kind of to build the community, to make sure that like it has longevity and that there's going to be kids that are going to pass down the torch when we're done. So it's sick. I kind of went on a tangent, but
no, it's awesome. It's awesome. But I did want to touch on that point. You're talking about like these, bigger scenes, you know, and you mentioned Spoiled, and it's an interesting, thing, because I live here in Southern California, right? And we have SOS Booking, which they're amazing, right? They bring all the best shows to Southern California, right? Not just LA. They bring awesome shows all over Southern California. So I feel like the people who are a part of the scene out here, whether you're a transplant or you're born and raised in the scene out here, they have never really had to deal with an issue of, you know, scarcity, right? Because it's such a destination. And then when you have a powerhouse like SOS Booking, who, you know, have a lot of great contacts, who put in a lot of hard work and, you know, do these amazing shows, like that situation isn't going to happen out here. What? So so those people, they haven't, maybe they haven't had a chance to experience what it's like to be in a scene where you don't get every band in the world coming through, right? You know, you don't really have to wish for these bands to come through, because it's just a matter of time. If a band in hardcore, you know, if they're you know, willing and wanting, it's not that hard to get out to California, and if there's people out, especially if there's people out here wanting to see you, like it's like, you know, you know, chances of it happening aren't, you know, are actually really good. So it is an interesting thing. So I understand what you're saying, because I'm, you know, like I said, I live here in Orange County now, so I'm 30 minutes in any direction from a good show. But growing up, when I was living out in the Palm Springs area, and I had my friend Steve Kibble, who was struggling just to keep the scene alive, he was having to pay bands out of pocket just to keep them happy, to get them paid so that they'd want to come back. And then eventually, things kind of fizzled out. There's still a scene out there now. There's a couple of cool bands popping off, but I know what it's like to wish and want bands to come through, and for it not to happen, and then us have to travel out of our scene just to get to a show. So once I moved out here, like, I never took that stuff for granted. It's like, even though like everything's so close, it's like I've never not appreciated being so close to it, because I know what it's like to not have it.
Yeah, and like, I think the thing, like growing up in Rochester, I really, really was grateful for any show that I saw. I remember like being like fucking like, I don't know, like 16, I think, and like thanking Zach from Malfunction for booking Soul Search and Fury and Forest Order in Buffalo, because like I was just like looking back, I'm like, he probably like was like, oh yeah, I mean, like I just booked a hardcore show, but like, when I was younger, like I didn't get shit like that, like at all. I think the only like cool show I got when I was younger that was like relevant bands, was like Heavy Chains and Mongoloids at Bug Jar. And that was like the only thing. Oh, well, there was like some fests that happened a little bit before that, like some like shitty, like, they were called Beatdown Fest or whatever, but it wasn't like a beatdown fest. I don't know. But there was like cool bands on that, but that was like right as I started going to shows, and like my parents didn't want me to go to that shit. So like went out like as like, you know, I was hungry for like hard, like just real deal hardcore. And like Rochester was a very like metalcore scene, or like the hardcore was just like a little bit dated. So like I was always thankful to see like even a niche weird bands that would come through. Like I remember I've like been very nostalgic lately at like a lot of the stuff that I saw when I was in high school, and you know, just throughout like those 4 years, I saw so many like really cool bands that otherwise like aren't necessarily like that hype, but like are still like, looking back, I'm like, oh shit, that's really cool that I saw that. Like I saw Savage Heads when I was like fucking 17, and like that was like some that was some like real like deep cut like hardcore punk shit that was like, you know, you could only get that in like a big city. But like for some reason that weekend, I think it was like them and I don't know if it was them and Reich. Yeah, I think it was them and Reich, another band that I'm like really thankful I got to see. Like that kind of stuff like would never come to Rochester, or like even like, and if it was like any of like the demo core stuff, it was like forget about it. Like no one cared about that stuff. So like I am very thankful that for the few like cool ass shows that I saw when I was like younger. And it makes me like really fortunate to like have like touring packages come to Syracuse. Like, you know, if like Lumpy hits me up and is like, hey, I got this like tour package, like can you make it work? I try my best to make it work, because I know that like, you know, as bands don't tour that often anymore, it's like very important to have like relevant shit come through, whether it's like on a bigger or smaller level. And you know, it's cool seeing young kids just like rock the bands that came through on tour, and like just like rock all their shit. Like seeing kids with like fucking like Reckoning Force t-shirts because like they rolled through, or seeing like kids with like fucking like Broken Vow shirts from when I booked them. Like it's just cool seeing like, or like kids in like mil-spec shirts, where it's like, you know, it's such a niche part of hardcore that isn't in the, I don't want to say top 40 hardcore, but it's like, we don't really have kids, like no dig on any of these bands, but we don't really have like kids rocking like Drain shirts or like Turnstile shirts or like anything that's like super hype, because like, it's such a microcosm of like, I guess you could say like the Northeast, where it's like, it's isolated from like what's normally going on aside from like the stuff that comes through. And the kids are just very like appreciative, not only just like appreciative of shit going on, that they want to go to like literally everything, but also like they're new, so like whatever comes is like the coolest fucking thing to them, which is like honestly like how I was. Like, you know, they don't know that there's like all these other bands, or maybe they do, they just like don't really like, they're it's more of like on a I don't want to say local level, because they're obviously not local bands, but like whatever comes through, kids are just stoked on it. Like otherwise, like it would be a niche thing somewhere else, you know what I mean? Like seeing kids in like Collateral shirts, that's fucking so sick to me, like in my local area. Yeah, I tangent aside, I think that like there is a importance in like trying to get as many bands to your scene as possible if it is a developing scene, because like those shows will just like, the kids will be more experienced once like either the scene gets bigger, or like they start going out of town for shows because they've seen so much and they've experienced so much. Like seeing kids like learn how to mosh in real time through the, like throughout the show and whatnot. But yeah, like I said, tangent aside, you know, it's cool that the kids are as thankful as I was when I was their age. Because I feel like I was, you know, I feel like it's very easy when you're into really cool stuff to like get jaded, especially at an early age. So it's refreshing to see that.
100%. And I'm curious, before you took on that role for booking these shows, did you have a lot of experience in booking shows?
Honestly, I learned a lot from like helping Lucas at times, mm-hmm. like just like helping with like bringing gear and backlining, and you know, I don't know what really like clicked. I think it was just, you know, just like having a band, the first band you ask say yes and be like, oh, okay, so like this is how it works. Like, I think like the thing that really prevented me from wanting to book shows was like the fear of not only just financial loss, but also like the fear of things like not going right. But like Syracuse has such like a tight knit community that like everyone will help. Like it doesn't matter like what show it is. There's someone who's bringing something. There's someone who's helping setting up something. And it's like, no one's like, oh, I'm not going to do that because blah, blah, blah. It's like, if you ask someone for help, they're going to help you, because like everyone is under the same impression that like if no one helps, it's one guy, and if it's just one guy, it's the person's whoever is doing it is going to get fucking burnt out because it is a thankless job. So it's very like gratifying to know that like no matter how, you know, no matter what the music is, people are going to be there and down to help. Like usually people will have their own like subset of hardcore that they're a part of, and like they can still be into that. Like most of the people going to shows don't even really like love the bands playing, but they're there because of it's a fucking show, and like because they know that like if you go to these shows, they keep happening. If more people go, they keep happening, then inevitably you get to see the bands you want to see. It's just like nice to know that everyone helps. And like I didn't really have any, like I think being in bands really helped, because you knew the other side of like getting booked on shows. And just kind of like a lot of people like get booking so wrong, I feel like they go into it with like all these ideas and like how it's supposed to be, and it's like very, very like, as long as you know like what gear needs to be brought and like the contact, and you just need to be good at talking to people, you just need to be able to build a relationship and be transparent and be honest and like be friendly, most of all just be friendly. Like, you know, the lady at Silver Street is like such a sweetheart, and like, you know, we my fiance runs a store, the lady who runs Silver Street shops there, so like as a thank you, we gave her like a $50 gift card after one of the shows, just because like, you know, building those relationships are important. A lot of people will jump into, you know, booking or doing bands thinking that like it's just gonna come because you're doing something, but like you really have to take that extra step and like, you know, just be a, just take one extra step out of your comfort zone and interact with people that you otherwise would not interact with, because that's what hardcore is. It's like half the people that are in my life I would have never met if it wasn't for hardcore, and like everyone is a completely different person, so it pretty much trains you to like interact with different types of people. And as long as you can interact with those people, you can book a show, you can start a band, you can book a fucking, like, I don't know, an event in general. It's no different than booking a, like a birthday party, or booking like a, I don't know, like a fucking, I don't know, like a potluck or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Like all you need to do is find a place.
That's figure hard. Out what you,
and like, and it, you know, all you need is a room with outlets. That's the thing that people don't understand, is all you need is a room with outlets. Like Kyle Mraz booked shows at the taco bar that he worked at because the guy who ran it was cool with it. If someone says they're down, try it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, and you find the next spot. You know what I mean? Like you can book a show anywhere with outlets, or just fucking bring a generator and just like play in like an empty lot. And just hope the cops don't come. And if they come, be polite, tell them what's going on, and hopefully they'll fuck off. But it does help that Syracuse is kind of barren, so you can really do whatever you want. And like, there's not, you know, that's the only worrisome part about the university swallowing everything, is that like, as what normally happens once, you know, colleges expand and student housing eats up neighborhoods, the worrisome part is like all these other things that we love that actually help the community, beyond just hardcore, but still just anything, will become an inconvenience to that profit incentive. So, you know, we lose venues, we lose spaces, there's noise complaints, and you kind of just have to like be prepared for that. Luckily, we haven't hit that. And we are, you know, Syracuse is like isolated enough where it's like, you can really do whatever the fuck you want in some regards. Like, there's a 10 p.m. curfew. Cool. We make sure that everything goes on time, backline everything. And all of our shows have run smoother than fucking butter. And nothing has ever gone past 10 o'clock except for, I think, New Year's Day. Like, the past one. But other than that, like, you just have to be on the ball. That's honestly like what I learned, like from playing bands. What, like, I just applied, like, what is the perfect show scenario as a musician? And I try to, you know, replicate that and be like, okay, so like, if I feel like this is the perfect scenario, things run on time, you know, there's no like stress, but you know, there's a back line and you don't have to like lug too much, and like there's people helping you out, other bands are going to feel the same way. So I just, you know, apply that same shit.
I feel like I put like too much trust in the wrong people when I used to book shows. You know, and this is another disclaimer, I don't book shows anymore, so please don't ask me to book your band. If you need help, I'm more than willing to point you in the right direction, but I'm just not doing that anymore. And it just made me so jaded, and it pissed me off so much, because and this happened like for every, you know, successful show that I, you know, put on, like, you know, I was over the moon about it, but there was there's probably about like four like crazy shows that I was you know, working on, and you know, one show the venue had beef with a band that was potentially on the lineup, but they didn't, you know, tell me that there was beef where I had no personal relationship. I'm like, I would have gladly taken that band off to make the show happen. Like, I don't care about that band like that. They were just, you know, sonically it made sense. So that was like one thing where I was like, okay, that's kind of whack. And then, like the one that probably hurt the most was, I'm not going to name the band, but, I was on vacation and crossed paths with a couple members of the band, and it was just totally random, like not planned. We're in a pizza spot, and we're just like, oh, hey, like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I'm on vacation. What are you doing here? And they're like, oh, like, we're about to go on tour. So we're like, we're, you know, doing band practice. So we sit down, we're having dinner, and I'm just like, hey, I'm trying to put together an Edge Day show. Would you guys be down to play it? Because California loves you guys. You guys haven't really been out there in a minute. I'm willing to accommodate you guys, right? I'll fly out your band. Here's the lineup. Like, what do you guys think? And they're like, yeah, like 100%. Like, let's do it. We don't have any plans in that window. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'm gonna fly home in a couple of days, and I'm gonna work on this. Like, are you guys like serious about it? Because I'm serious about it, you know. And they're like, yeah, 100%. Like we're gonna do it. I'm like, all right, bet. So I go home and I start, you know, reaching out to like my contacts, right? I'm reaching out to, you know, bands that don't do stuff that often that are more than willing. And, you know, there hasn't been an Edge Day show in Orange County for a long time, because out here in Southern California, there's like a shortage of straight edge bands.
Has there been an Edge Day in general? Like, I feel like
but it's been a long time, right? So right. So I you know, like, I'm under the guise that like this band is down, right? So I start securing, like, you know, some pretty crazy bands, and obviously strong local support, right? and, you know, bands from the Pacific Northwest, you know, they're the, like this LA straight edge band that's pretty popular, and everything's locked in, right? Everything's locked in. And I'm like, okay, so, I'm going back to the you know, same scene where I met these guys, right? Because I'm on vacation again, right? So this is like 8 months later, right? I like, you know, from the time that I saw them last, they said they were down. They're like, all right, yeah, like, let's do it. You know, put out a ton of feelers. Everybody was down. So they were like the last piece. So I meet them again. I'm like, hey, you know, here's the lineup. Here's the date. The venue's down. Everybody's down. To lock it in, you guys just have to confirm. Like I said, I'll fly you guys out. Like, I can pay for your flights, or I can pay you, you know, afterwards, like whatever you guys want to do, like however you guys want to do it. And the look on their face was like, oh shit, this guy was serious. To me, they were like caught off guard. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like just the look on their face, it pissed me off so much, because like I was like, wow, they didn't think I was serious. And then they started like backpedaling. They're, oh, like, actually we got to check our calendar. And I'm like, and I'm just like, dude, don't even check your calendar. I was like, I know where this is headed. Like, you could just say no. Like, you could have told me no in the very beginning. Now I have to go back and tell every band, and I'm telling every band that you're not playing. And then I have to tell the venue, like, hey, never mind, I don't need that window, just give it to somebody else. And I was so pissed off, because I'm like,
were any of the bands like still down to play, even if like, or is that like the selling
that point? Was they, yeah, me flying out this band was the selling point. And you know, they're all friends too, so it's just like, you know, for them it's like, oh cool, like, we get to go to California, do a cool show. And also they have a ton of friends, like we're all friends. But they just kind of just didn't tell me that they weren't serious until I like brought it to them, yeah, with like this whole thing. And it was just so frustrating, because I was just like, man, I feel like such an idiot now, because I have to go back and tell everybody, never mind. And yeah, it's just like, you know, and some of these bands play in like bigger bands, and they're like on like an off season. So it was like a rare opportunity for this to happen.
It's kind of rude that they just like didn't take you seriously. Cause like they could have at least just say, hey, we're busy. Or, you know, they could be like, oh, something, like, I don't know. It's just like, I would never tell someone yes if I really wanted to say no. If I, even if like I, even if I didn't want to do something, I would at least like humor the idea and like send it to like, I don't know, the group chat or whatever, and like say like, hey, do you guys want to play this? And we'll see who can play it. Sometimes it's not worth it, just like time wise, because like we all have like full-time jobs, and sometimes it's hard to get like certain days off and whatnot. So it's like, yeah, that's fucked. That's kind of whack.
And like, and like, I was like, you know, I told them to their face, I'm like, yo, I'm willing to fly you out, or, you know, reimburse you for your plane tickets, whatever, I'll give you a bigger guarantee, whatever, because I was serious from the very beginning. Like, I wasn't just some random dude. And that's another thing, like, they know me, right? I'm not just some random person that hit them up on Instagram that they have no idea who I am. It's like, no, like, I you know, have a couple shows under my belt, you know, you guys know me, like, I like, you know, I'm not just some crazy stranger. So that one really pissed me off. So I was just like, all right, that was a big mess. So that one didn't happen. And then,
and it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I one of like my big pet peeves is like people just agreeing to everything. And like, that is like actually an issue in my life, is that I say yes to things, but mm-hmm. I say yes to things I actually want to do.
Yeah.
I don't just say yes to please people. Like, if someone asks me to do something I don't want to do, I'm not going to fucking do it, because like, it's not worth my time. I don't have a lot of time to like be throwing out. So I'm not going to like lead someone on and waste their time. Like, and sometimes like, as we were supposed to record last week, like, no, this past Saturday, mm-hmm. I completely forgot it was Spat from All For All's bachelor party. And, you know, that happens, but like, I'll always try to make it up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just don't understand. Like, if someone is like, oh shoot, I can't do this, I'll try to make it up to you. If I said yes to something, I'm not just going to like say no and just ghost them. Cause it's just like, that's, I don't know. I wouldn't want to do something to somebody that I wouldn't want done to myself. So it just doesn't make sense when some people are just like either in bands or promoters or whatever, that are just like people pleasers on the surface, but like are like dishonest with their true intentions or dishonest with what they want. Like, I don't know. Cause like, obviously like no one wants to do not everything that comes to the table is something that like I would want to do, or, but like, I'll at least try to, like, if it's a show that I can't like promote or don't have the time, or like, it's not in my wheelhouse, I'll at least try to like send them to somebody that would help them. Because like, I wouldn't want to like stick my neck out there and just have it shot down, because it's like, that's a shitty fucking feeling. And I've felt that so many times just playing in bands, or just like even being like in the scene in general, like interacting with people. So like, I don't understand that mentality of like people pleasing for like the sake of people pleasing. Like, just be true. Just be honestly, I would rather someone be a dick and say, fuck no, that shit's whack, than like, you know, be like, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, 100%. And then like think that I'm just going to forget, or think that I'm just going to fucking, yeah, I don't fuck with that. That's,
yeah. That pissed me off. And then, here's another one where it gets a little, you know, where you have to start dealing with like agents, you know, like booking agents and managers and stuff, right? So I wouldn't call them friends at this point, but these people that I know were they play in this band, they're on the come up, whatever, and they're on tour with a bigger band, and they have an off date on 420. So this is 420 this past year, and I hit up the singer. I'm like, yo, like, you guys have an off date on 420. You know, I'm sure you guys have a radius clause, but I'm pretty sure program is already clause. I'm pretty sure program is far enough away from the cities that you're playing that it wouldn't, you know, breach that. So like, would you guys be down? And they're like, yeah, 100%. Like we'll do it. So I'm like, all right, cool. I was like, I'm gonna go talk to program and we'll lock down the date. All right, bet. Like, let's do it. Hit a program. They're like, 100%. Like, let's do it. So go back to the singer. And I'm just like, yo, like, program's down. Should I get a flyer made? Like, you know, is everything good on your end? And they're just like, oh, actually, last time we played program, we sold it out. Can we do somewhere bigger? And I'm like, all right, just give me a second. I can figure it out. So I go reach out to some contacts and I get Chain Reaction, right, on the line. And you know, Chain Reaction is a popular venue. So it's not like they're just, you know, have a bunch of open dates. So they're like, okay, you want the 420 date. All right. Like, you got to give us an answer ASAP, because we have like, you know, four other people asking for that date. And if you guys want to do it, like, we'll give it to you. Go back to the singer. I'm like, hey, Chain Reaction's down, but you have to, you know, let me know now. It's like, you know, this is serious. And he's like, okay. He's like, I have to hit up my agent. Like, you know, like, just give me some time. So I'm like, all right, we don't have time, but hit up your agent and get back to me. Never gets back to me. Next thing I know, I see a flyer for, you know, his band. You know, they went with another promoter, same day, different city. And I'm just like, wow, you could have just told me. Like, I don't like, you know, my feelings aren't going to get hurt if you don't want to do a show with me. But for you, who's supposed to be my friend, to just never get back to me, especially when there's like a time sensitive thing with, you know, Chain Reaction, you know, actually wanting to let us get the date over the other people, and for them to just never get back to me. And then the way I find out that I'm not doing your off date show by seeing the flyer for your other show, I was like, that shit was so whack.
Yeah, I personally like can't understand the whole like ghosting people thing. Like, I am very much pro communication. I'm pro,
makes everything easier.
No, even as over communication, like, I'll hit up, like, if I'm booking a show, I'll be like, hey, like, if it's like pre-sales, I'll just be like, hey, randomly, this many pre-sales sold. or the, you know what I mean? Like, which we don't normally do pre-sales unless it's like a big show. Mm-hmm. And we want to see how much, you know, if like bands have a guarantee or whatever. But yeah, like luckily I personally have not worked with like booking agents. I've worked with people like trying to set up runs.
Yeah.
For other bands, like labels and whatnot, like AC or like Lumpy or whatnot, but like I've never, Lucas has, Godspeed to him, especially with like New Year's Day and whatnot. Like he has had to work with a lot of booking agents, and so is Colin. Colin's booking slightly again. Yeah, luckily I haven't had to. I also am like, I'm not with me booking, like I personally just like get what comes to me, or if there's like a band that like I want to see, I'll like talk to them and like see what the deal is. But I haven't built a show yet. Lucas and Colin have built shows before. I just kind of get an offer and build a show around it. And you know, like, because obviously like I can't just like, I'm not gonna put a lot of energy into something when I have a lot of other stuff on my plate, like just being in two bands and like a full-time job and whatnot, which like the full-time job has actually helped a lot because it doesn't, I can go to any show locally. It doesn't matter because I don't work nights anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome. And I have a consistent, steady income. So like, that's another thing about booking shows is like when you have a steady income, it actually helps a lot more because like you're guaranteed that like, you know, you're gonna, like when I was working production assistant jobs and grip work, like that was not consistent money, and I had to be very, very smart with like the money coming in, because like the part-time job I was doing was not really as, like it was still consistent money, but it wasn't enough to like really do what like I wanted to do. And thankfully like having a full-time job has definitely like helped not only just like booking, but like band and life stuff in general. So like it is hard when you're just like, I don't know how Lucas does it and like books all these crazy shows while having like a part-time delivery job. Like Godspeed to him. He's probably a lot smarter with money than I am. I'm definitely a loose spender.
Yeah. I was always willing to, cause like my mindset was like, okay, like I'm responsible for the show. I'm the one who, you know, is the, you know, person booking it, the main contact, whatever. I was like, all right, just to, you know, feel safe, I was like, I'm going to have the guarantee, you know, for the touring band, the money for the venue, just in my pocket, just in case. Right.
Right.
Because I never wanted to go that route. But if it, you know, if for some weird reason, right, these bands that I was booking wasn't going to draw or whatever, people were still going to get paid. Right. I never wanted to, you know, put people in a situation where they weren't going to get paid or they felt cheated or whatever. So I was always, I always had the money for the show, just my own personal money. And that was one thing that really pissed me off too, is and then this is me really peeling back the curtain. I've never said this stuff like publicly. The last like real show that I booked was Prowl from Canada and Dose. They came through, and there was like a real big issue because I wasn't going to be there because I already had a trip planned. I was in Philly that weekend for a Hardcore Pride weekend, and people weren't happy about it. But I was just like, dude, like I, you know, put all the like, you know, pieces in place for the show to run smooth. It should be zero issues. But like leading up to it, there's always this issue where the shows that I booked, I would sell tickets on my website, right? You go to jamierk.com/tickets. You could, buy your tickets ahead of time. No fees, just what you pay at the door is what you pay on the website. Cause I wanted to provide that service to the scene, because I'm not here trying to make a buck off anybody. And I think, you know, service fees on tickets were whack, and that's what I provided, right? But certain people didn't feel comfortable with me selling tickets on my website, because I think maybe they thought that I was pocketing money when I was always very transparent, showing them every ticket that sold from, you know, from when I created the ticket to, you know, when the show happened. So, you know, the, you know, powers that be, they're like, hey, like, we want to do it through Eventbrite. And I'm like, fine. If that'll make you feel better, let's do it through Eventbrite. People are going to have to pay the service fees. That's whack, but fine. Like, I'll give you that. So move to Eventbrite. Tickets aren't moving, right? And I'm, because I got, you know, I went out to Philly like a couple of days early, and I'm getting hit up like, yo, like, tickets aren't moving. You got to cut ticket prices in half. And I'm like, no, I was just like, there's no fucking way we're cutting the $20 ticket to $10. Because first of all, kids are going to show up. Like, the lineup's awesome. Like, I don't understand why you're stressing. And I was very adamant. I was like, we're not cutting ticket prices because, like, that's just going to make it harder for you to get money and for the bands to get their guarantees. So I was like, no, that makes zero sense. So I was like, keep it at 20. Worst case scenario, I'll send the money over. Right. You know, and like, you know, fast forward, show's over, touring bands get paid, the local bands get paid, the venue gets paid. And I'm just like, dude, told you, I don't know why you're stressing. Just should have. I was like, kids probably weren't buying tickets because they don't want to pay the stupid service fee. When they're going to jmrk.com/tickets, zero service fee. That's why they're moving on my website and not the corporate website. And I get it, for like more established shows and fests and promoters, you know, that works better for them. But when it's like this new thing that we're doing, it's like, kids were already just getting used to going to my website to buy tickets. And now you want to flip the script and send them somewhere else where they're going to be paying more. Yeah. It just made no sense.
It's hard when it's like, so like a scene, like the thing about Syracuse is that like, it's so small that like Syracuse hardcore is Syracuse hardcore. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, it's not like multiple different people booking different shows. It's literally like, it is like me, Lucas, and sometimes Colin. Yeah. And then there's other people who book shows, but anything under like Syracuse hardcore is like us. And it's not that we're holding that title hostage or anything. It's just like, that's what we're doing. And like, we have the big cartel, and like, that's where we like sell, like if we need pre-sales, we sell tickets and whatnot. And it's like, I feel like because like Syracuse hardcore has like a brand to it, that like there's a little bit more trust there. Mm-hmm. And you know, it, we don't really have like random, like we have people who book shows, but like, it's mostly like, also like Syracuse hardcore will promote other people's shows, like on the Instagram, like any hardcore show in Syracuse will be promoted. But most of the time it's like, we're the ones doing like hardcore. And it's because Syracuse is a small city. I feel like in California, it's like so much bigger, and you have like SOS booking, and then you, and then like someone else. And then there's like all these like sub pockets or whatever. And it's like, any show in Syracuse is like, it's all the same people. It's like, it's super small. And like, I think some areas just like have more, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the word. Some areas are just bigger. And like, with that comes like some skepticism with bands or whatever, which like, that just, I guess that's the unfortunate thing, like when it comes to like booking, is just like, I feel like a lot of bands just inherently are on defense because like they're the ones that are like on tour, and they're like, you know, they want to make sure, because like I've definitely been in a scenario where I was like, are we getting paid after this? Like, you know what I mean? And like, we all come from like a very like punk background, I guess, where we're just like thankful to play a show. Also, we just like aren't at a level where like we have guarantees or whatever, like just our bands or whatever. We're just like, okay, cool. Do we have at the very least, we want enough money for gas. But like, I feel like depending on like, it's understandable when bands are kind of like skeptical, just because like, if they're big bands that have a guarantee, but like, I don't know. I personally like, in my endeavors, like I'm just happy to play a show. You know what I mean? I'm just thankful that like people over in a different state care, you know what I mean? So I don't know, maybe bands just forget how that feels, and like sometimes the heads get big, or maybe it's just like, I don't know, maybe it's a world that I just don't understand because I'm not a part of the money world of hardcore, if that makes sense. Not to sound like, you know, like, yeah, fuck money, blah, blah, blah. But like,
yeah, no, for me, I was constantly calling my friends who are way more experienced than me at booking shows. And I was just like, hey, like, this is this band's guarantee. Like, are they ripping me off? Is it fair? You know, like, how much do I, cause like, and I'd be like, hey, like, I have X amount left over. Like, how do I divvy it up to the local bands? Cause it's just like, X local band wanted, you know, 9 people to get in for free when it's just like, come on. Like, I got, you know, 9 people. That's a lot of money when you put a ticket price to those 9 people. And it's just like, I had like so many moving parts and like first show I ever booked. Like the biggest band on the bill, I had an envelope, you know, with money for them. And, yeah. And I was just like, hey, like, who's like the main contact? Like, who do I pay? And they're like, oh, just go talk to so-and-so. So I approached him. I'm like, hey, like I'm here. And he's just like, what is this? And I'm just like, it's money. And he's like, money. He's like, we're getting paid. And I'm like, yeah, you're the biggest band here. Like this, you guys are here on your off day. What do you mean you're getting paid? And they're like, oh, like, We just want to do this because like we want to play with our friends. We didn't think we were going to get paid. And I'm like, oh, I was like, well, there's a lot of money in this envelope. I just take it because like, you know, like you guys brought a lot of kids here. So I'm more than happy to give this to you. And they were so surprised. And I was surprised. Cause like what they thought that I was just out. Like, well, to be fair, they asked to get on like last minute, but. Mm-hmm. Still, like, you know, money's being made. Like, of course I'm gonna, you know, give you a, you know, a generous amount. Like, I'm not just gonna take it.
That's the thing about hardcore that I've always like thought was so funny is that like there are the people who really like are rock star about it and like really like are like in business mode all the time, and then there are the people that you think are gonna be like that because they're big, but then you forget they're just people, and like they're like, they're just like you. They're just stoked to be doing this. Cause like I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't know if it's a, like a location thing, but there's just like that spirit where you're just like thankful to be doing it. Like Mind Force rolled through. And obviously like we wanted to make sure that they got paid, and all the bands on the package got paid really fucking well because that show did really well. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. They were just the most thankful human beings on planet Earth. They were just like, and like, they honestly like have no reason to be, because they're one of the biggest bands in hardcore, and they're older and they've been doing this for so long, but like, they're just so like wise and very like appreciative. Like, I don't know, that whole show, aside from almost fucking dying, because I got kicked really fucking hard to the point where like I got a concussion and had like raccoon eyes for like 2 weeks. I don't know. It's just like the whole vibe was just great, and everyone was just like super appreciative, and like hearing people say that they want to play Syracuse again, they're like, we really fuck with Syracuse. This is awesome. Like, and it's not the, and I think maybe it's just because it's refreshing, because there's a lot of like, we're very accepting of like the weird new kids. And I feel like some other scenes are kind of a little bit more judgmental about them.
For sure.
But like my whole thing is like, if you're okay with getting hit in the head, you're cool. Like, I don't care if you like push pit. Like, if you're okay with getting hit at a show and you're not going to sue the venue and you're not going to fucking like cry about it or whatever, and you're just going to like be stoked that like you're at a show, you're cool in my book. And like, that's been everybody. Like, it doesn't, like these young kids, like they've been trapped inside for like 2 years or like a year and a half or whatever, and they're finally out. They want to get rough. They want to get like, you know, they're dying to roll around in dirt and play soccer or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, they don't want to be inside. They don't want to be on a fucking tablet like scrolling through TikTok. They want to be like in the action. But yeah, I'm kind of digressing, but yeah, I think it's that spirit that like hardcore is based on, is like, you know, you're just doing this because you fucking love it and there's no fucking money. You know what I mean? There's only a few bands that can make money. And like, I feel like a lot of them are just appreciative that they make money every day. Mm-hmm. And if they aren't, I'm like, I don't know. If you're not appreciative that you're able to make money off of this and like you're not humble, then I don't know. I guess you're not hardcore. But I don't have a band in mind that's like that, but I'm sure there's a band out there that's like that. But I just think that like the most important part of a hardcore is to be humble. And I've seen a lot of people not be humble and expect people to give a shit down the line. And then, you know, it shows when you're humble. That's why, like, I guess a band like Mind Force is like so, you know, important to like this generation of hardcore kids, is because like they are very humble and they are very like appreciative of this subculture. And yeah, I think that like, you know, money is important, and like money is important to like survive. And if you're going to spend your time doing shit, it's nice to get paid for it. But, you know, I think the thing is, we're all voluntarily in the subculture. So you all have to kind of remember that it's like for us, by us, and like we have to like be realistic with our expectations going into like playing in bands or booking shows or whatever. Like we're not like a business, you know. We're just a couple people who just want to see some cool bands and bring some bands over and play in bands. Like, you know, we're just thankful that we're able, that people give a fuck, you know what I mean? Because people weren't giving a fuck for a while and it sucked. Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, but with all the weird stuff with me booking shows, I just want to thank every person that ever helped out. Shout out Andy, who helped me run the door. All the people who let me use their equipment for Backline, you know, Take It to Heart, Firestarter, Major Pain. Appreciate everybody that helped out. But it's just, it was a situation where I just, you know, I'm really busy, you know, doing this, and now I'm like, you know, doing stuff like in person. I'm like, you know, traveling out to people on top of you know, trying to do other stuff. Right. It just was just becoming very just not fun, and I just didn't want to
it's a thankless job.
Yeah. And I just didn't want to like overcommit, because I like to this day, like the other day had you know, this band messaged me like, hey, like we just locked in a date with Program, who should be on the bill? And I'm like, oh, like you didn't lock that in with me, like I don't do anything there anymore. And they're like, oh, what, that's crazy. And I was like yeah, sorry. But but you know, I stepped away. And then I got asked for some friends, for my friends, right? They're like, hey, we're doing an EP release show. Like, would you please help us? And I was like, sure. I was like, only because you guys asked. I was like, but after this, I don't want to do shit. So I you know, I'm like, all right, like, just give me the details and I'll make it happen. They give me all the details. I'm like, all right, get a venue. I you know, get the date, whatever, call them. I'm like, hey, is locked in, like, you guys good? And they're like, oh no, we're not good, we're actually going with somebody else, sorry. And I'm like, are you guys fucking kidding me? I was like, you guys are my friends. And thankfully, you know, they told me, like, you know, far enough out where it wasn't that embarrassing. So I'm like, all right, right. I was like, I'll be there, but fuck you guys, because that was really annoying. So it's just endless, right? I was like, I'm gonna start drawing up some contracts or something to make people actually stick to their word,
right? Yeah, I just, like, I'm very thankful that, like, I'm not, like, the main guy of Syracuse, because I feel like Lucas probably goes through, like, so much more shit. Like, he's very secretive about, like, a lot of his stuff, and he's a very need-to-know basis kind of guy. I'm an overshare, mm-hmm. So, like, I can't even imagine half the shit that he probably goes through that he doesn't even tell any of us. And, like, you know, it's a stressful thing, but that's, you do it because you love it. And when you stop loving it, then it's just time to stop doing it, which, like, is a thing that sucks. But, like, the most thankful thing I've done is, like, quit bands or leave bands or break up bands, even though, like, I have people upset at me for doing it for a myriad of time. But, it ends up in the long run, like, you know, New Direction had to call it quits. So All For All and Deal With God and Street Hustle could like flourish in this endless timeline. But yeah, shows, booking them. It sucks, but it's fun, but it also is not fun.
Yeah. I you know, always knowing how much work goes into it, but having to experience it, I'm like, all right. I feel like I walked away, you know, could have been worse. That's what I always tell myself. I had a lot of fun, got to bring out every show that I booked. It was all friends, right? It was because my friends' bands were coming through. You know, they were doing me a favor, or I was doing them a favor. But it was awesome, and I'm happy to just to have that little mark, you know, right, in the Orange County hardcore history, right? People are gonna look back and be like, oh, like those Jamie Arcade shows were wild and weird and fun.
Yeah. But yeah, let's talk about bands. Let's talk about Syracuse.
Wait, I want to talk about your bands. Deal With God, right? It seems like you guys are you know, playing shows, but it hasn't been new music since. Would you call that a split with the stuff that you did with was it False Narrative?
I call it a split. Sometimes I accidentally slip and say comp, even though it's like three songs. It's really just a three-way split between All For All, Deal With God, and Street Hustle. Mm-hmm. False Narratives is not really a thing. It's just like a thing that I put tapes on.
Okay,
this last thing, I think I got one more tape coming out that's like for this band Hidden Streets. They're a bunch of kids from Syracuse or Liverpool, which is a suburb outside of Syracuse. And it's like kind of Holy Terror kind of stuff. I'm putting out a tape for them. I gotta like finish it. I gotta finish dubbing them tonight when we're done. But I think that might be the last thing I put out, just because like I wasn't that consistent with it, and it was just like a lot. It was one of those things where it's like, if you don't love doing it anymore, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is fun, but like I have so much else on my plate, and I'm doing like other stuff. So like I'm gonna. If I do another label, it's going to be something brand new, but it's probably not going to happen for a while. But in terms of like with you, what God's doing, we do have a record recorded. Mostly I have to finish vocals. I have to redo a couple tracks because like when I was doing it, like it just, I wasn't too stoked on how they sounded. So I want to like kind of go over some stuff, but we have an EP. No idea what the fuck we're going to do with it. We are going to see how it sounds and see if people fuck with it, and then hopefully put it out on something. If not, we'll just put it out ourselves. But yeah, we're just working on something, right? We're working on stuff. We play a lot of new songs live, and they've been getting really good reactions when we play them. So we want to get this out pretty soon, or like in an amount of time that like works. Definitely like a lot stronger than everything that we put out, because it's like this, aside from like the song that's on the split, this is going to be like the first release with David on drums, who's been our drummer for honestly majority of the band at this point. And Paul is like now one of the main songwriters since he moved up to guitar, so like it's a lot stronger than like what was, I mean, like, not to say like the demo and wasn't strong. I wrote most of that, but like it's definitely gearing towards its own sound rather than like what I was trying to do at that point, which was like, I mean, there's still like elements of like Integrity and Cold as Life and Ringworm and I don't know, like other dark hardcore, I guess, Kickback. I don't want to say the K word because every band wants to sound like fucking Kickback, but yeah, like fucking just like metallic hardcore, but it's still hardcore and it's not metalcore, no matter how much fucking Sam in my band wants to fucking debate me on that. but he can go fuck himself. He's also my upstairs neighbor, so he has to deal with me. But yeah, what were you saying, sir?
Is there a time frame for you to finish vocals? Because you know, it seems like you know you're so close to the finish line.
There was, and I'm definitely way beyond that time frame. But yeah, I'm gonna probably wrap some stuff up this week. It's just there's so much stuff happening. Like Spat's getting married this Sunday. There's like shows like up the ass like in the next few fucking weeks. Like there's just been, I was gonna do a lot more the past 2 weeks, but I had a concussion the whole time, and like it was not ideal. I tried recording once and I did really well, but like it exacerbated my symptoms, so I'm like, I was like, I'm not gonna fucking deal with that. But Deal With God has stuff in the works. I hope it's gonna come out this year. It'll probably come out this year, maybe December, or maybe not until next year.
Yeah,
but we're just trying to play out a lot because there's so many areas that we weren't able to play, and it's like kind of hard. Like, it's kind of hard to like get out of upstate New York because, like, you know, the Northeast, you can go to a different state in like 2 hours. Meanwhile, here it like takes some time to get out of state. The closest place that has a hardcore scene that's out of state is Wilkes-Barre, and that's about like 2.5 hours, I think, or 3 hours.
What about going across the border? Is that an option?
It is now because we have our passports. We just have not, we've been getting offers and like we just have not been able to like do those, but like we want to play Canada really bad. We've been talking with people about playing Canada at some point. We haven't done a full weekend yet or any run at all. We've tried to book a couple, but like it would always fall through. I think like once we actually have music out, like there will be more like attention on what we're doing, and we'll be able to like actually like put ourselves out there more. Just because, like, you know, we were trying to get stuff out last year and then like that didn't happen and like life gets in the way, but we are hoping to have this new music out and like be able to get out as much as possible. I know there's like people in Virginia that really fuck with us. Like, we just played with Dimension 6 twice this past weekend. Those dudes are fucking awesome. They're just like very, very stoked on hardcore, and they're just like very fun to like talk to and hang out with and kick it with. So yeah, there's spots that like want to see us. Like, we just played Connecticut finally, and like it was one of the best shows we fucking played, because like we've been wanting to play Connecticut and people in Connecticut have been wanting to see us, and now Conflin's in Belmora, so like there's that connection is strong, and like those dudes are fucking awesome. And you know, it's cool that, like, you know, even though we haven't put music out, we're still like slowly but surely like pushing through. Yeah, like hopefully once this record's out, like people fuck with it, and it's something that we're proud of and something that like we're really stoked to like, you know, promote and like do a run on. I just know that like I want to make sure that like if I'm putting out music, it's going to be exactly what I want to fucking hear, exactly what I want to play, and exactly what I want to put out artistically. So obviously there's going to be some setbacks with that. Also just like time management. I'm like the worst at time management.
but yeah. But it's cool to hear that, you know, even with not putting out any new music so far this year, that, you know, people are still, you know, into the band, and you guys are playing, you know, awesome shows. So I think that speaks volumes that people still care, especially when there isn't a whole lot of new material out.
Right. There's not a lot of eyes on us, but the people that care really fuck with us. And like the people that like have shown support for a very long time are still showing support. Like fucking Colin Hudson Valley, Means of Survival, Quiet, That Dude Rocks. All the dudes in Hudson Valley that like have fucked with us, my man Hawk, fucking Josie, Terry, Tony, all those guys were fucking Tyler. The guy fucking kicked me in the face.
Oh, Tyler's the one that did that to you.
Yeah. No, it was on accident. Oh, like, wow. it was funny because, like, we both were going in the same direction. And as I was spinning, I just, like, it just, like, wrong place at wrong time. I'm kicked off camera, but you can see his foot in the direction where I'm going. And then it was just like lights out. Like I didn't pass out, but I was fucked. But
and that was a picture with you with like the bloody nose and.
Oh, I was fucked. I was fucked. And then I was an idiot and like went back in like not like right after I clotted all the blood. And then after I went in, I was like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. And I was like really dizzy, but fuck it, we ball.
Yeah, you know, shit happens in the pit.
Yeah. And luckily I didn't break. I'm surprised I didn't break anything. I was really worried. Like I had like brain bleed or some crazy shit, but really I just had a concussion for 2 weeks, which sucked.
That's pretty serious. You don't want to get too many of those.
Yeah. I've never had a concussion, or at least I've never experienced symptoms of a concussion because okay. I've been hit in the head a myriad of times, just like from going to shows and like being short. So it's like easy to get hit. But yeah. Yeah, that was an experience. I still had to like wrap up and like pay the bands and whatnot while my entire face was like fucked up. And by the end of the night, I was so swollen. I looked like Sloth from the Goonies. So it was not fun. And then going into work.
Oh, that's
At least one of my supervisors used to be in like a metalcore band.
Okay.
Back in like the mid 2000s. So he understands like what I do.
Yeah.
He was into like Norma Jean and Under Oath and like Poison the Well and shit like that. So he understands like that world. So like at first he thought I got into a fight and I was like, nah, I just got kicked in the face. But everyone else was just like, what the fuck do you do in your spare time? Like, how do you get out? Like, cause it was like straight up raccoon eyes. Like it wasn't like one black eye. Cause I got hit right in the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was fun. I didn't get an MRI. I should have gotten an MRI immediately after, but whatever.
Well, seem okay now.
I'm fine. I think, yeah. What were we talking about? Oh yeah. Yeah, hopefully the deal with God like is able to like really push forward like within the next year, because like we all fucking put a lot into that band and we want to make sure that like we put out something that's really dope. And yeah, really they're just waiting on me to finish vocals, and I think there's a couple like guitar parts that need to like be tweaked a little bit, but other than that, like we have songs. There is a plan. There is a framework. There's songs written, there's lyrics written, we play most of them live. Just a matter of time. And then All For All already put out music, so like that is like what we're kind of rolling on right now is the second demo. So
yeah, and congrats on getting on FYA 10.
Yeah, I still think it's a fucking prank that Bob's pulling on us, but but now, no.
I remember seeing him posting the second demo, like when it dropped, and you know, I don't know. It's definitely not a joke. You're on the flyer, the real flyer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, we just keep saying like, dude, is this a fucking joke? Like, what the fuck? Because like we went into that band thinking nobody was gonna care. Because it was like Spat's third band doing like for like I would say like a youth crew style band. And like we were just like, once Standalone broke up, we were like, all right, are we gonna do one more band? And we were like, fuck it, let's do the band that we really have all like me, Lucas, and Spat have all wanted to be in together like from the get-go. Let's fucking do it. Like just straightforward, fast. No gimmick hardcore, just hardcore. And like we even like we're like, should we even be a straight edge band? And we were like, it's not, because like that's where are we gonna do another demo of straight edge songs? No, we're gonna like Spat wants to sing other shit, and also like we want a better gene pool. That's weird. We want a better pool of musicians to like play with. And we got Vic, who's not straight edge, and his energy of just like being super positive and just super down is just like, you know, that band is so fun as like a group of people and as like a unit. Like, I just love that I just can drum, and it's like very, very like, you know, fulfilling to like know that like this thing that like we were worried people weren't going to care about, because obviously like fast hardcore is not easy for the modern kid to like digest, like in terms of like hardcore in general. But like Syracuse has a lot of like kids that came from the punk scene and like a lot of kids that want fast hardcore. So it's like, even if they don't know about Youth of Today, even if they don't know about Gorilla Biscuits, well, they most likely will know about Gorilla Biscuits, but like, even though they don't know about like that much about hardcore, they're just very stoked to just hear something that's like energetic. And that's like what we want to bring to the table, is like, we just want to do hardcore. And thinking about it, there's not a lot of bands that just do hardcore. I think I can think of like Restraining Order, Cut Down, Never Again. Like, there's only a small portion of bands like doing that. So it's like, I think like refreshing to a lot of people to have like this band with that energy. So I think that's just like part of the reason why the band works, is because like we all love that style of hardcore, which is just hardcore. Like, not like I said, like no gimmicks, just no worship, no sound, like just, it's just hard, meat and potatoes. And it's just like what we grew up on, what we love, and like what we want to hear and what we want to put out. So it's like, you know, it's nice to know that people care about that, because like we're not special. We're just a hardcore band. But I think because there's not a lot of just hardcore bands that like, you know, it makes us like unique in the current era of hardcore. Where like there's a lot of people want to do like metallic hardcore or metalcore, or like, you know, they want to do like 90s worship or New York hardcore worship. Like, we're just hardcore. We sound like hardcore. And you know, linking up with the DMU guys is awesome, because like they do what we like want out of hardcore. Like, they do, like, they have the same spirit that we have of just like, we want to just do this because we love it. And like, you know, it's just like a good vibe. Like, all those dudes are so chill. They just like love just doing what they're doing, and like they're just so focused on what they're doing. That's kind of like what attracted us, like All For All to DMU and DMU to All For All, like after playing with like Payload and Grand Scheme and shit like that. Like, the vibes were just like very much like in sync. So we're like very thankful that they wanted to put us out, even in, you know, even though they were very much a new label, and like, you know, it's hard to like, they probably think it's really weird that we're like riding hard for them and like putting their logo on our t-shirt when they're just like a random tape label out of Atlanta. But like, we just like are very stoked that there's like something that kind of like feels like Mosher's Delight, and feels like all the stuff that we loved when we were in high school. So like, you know, we're just gonna ride hard for that shit.
Yeah, I think it's awesome, because obviously they're you know, you guys are taking chances on, you know, this partnership, so why not be stoked to be working with them?
We were taking a chance on doing the band in general. We were like, are we gonna put our energy into this band? Like, we're all burnt out. Like, so it's like it's just awesome.
Yeah, I find it really you know, surprising to hear that you're like, oh, like, we don't think anybody's gonna care about this, but you know, it's obviously gotten a good reaction.
Yeah, it's also just because it's like, in, like I said, Syracuse is so separate from, like, it is part of the Northeast, but it's so separate from everything that the Northeast does.
Yeah.
Not only geographically, but also just like we're our own microcosm. So the fact that anybody cares about Syracuse and wants to play Syracuse is just wonderful. Cause like, we're not on tour routes. Like most places, like most bands, like when they plan a tour, if they hit upstate, central, western New York, they hit Buffalo or they hit Albany. Mm-hmm. They, you know, it's very out of the way, but it is so like being central New York is so sick. Cause it's like, it's an hour to Rochester, 2 hours to Buffalo, 2 hours to Albany, an hour to Binghamton, like an hour to Ithaca. Like we are like in the dead center of like all the places in like upstate Western New York that like we are able to go to like so much shit and like interact with people. So it's like, you know, it is a perfect location. And I'm very happy that people are starting to kind of like realize like what we have going on in Syracuse, because I think it is definitely something definitely something very unique and very refreshing to anybody who comes for the first time. Because like if you're especially bands that compare it to like how it was like in 2019, like pre-COVID, it's like night and day. Like the vibe is so much different, but like in a very, very positive way.
For a scene to have produced bands like Attitude and Forfeit.
Starting off with a deep cut.
I'm always gonna, you know, have respect, and then just to hear the passion, you know, from you, and you know, and for you and your friends to be working so hard to keep it alive, because it's not an easy job, and for you guys to step up and to be having a real impact, I think it's really awesome, and it's so cool to watch, right? Because I'm just this dude from California, you know, our scene out here is super stable, we constantly have good bands all the time, every band in the world wants to play here, so it's cool, it's awesome. But it, you know, it comes with hard work. Like I said, shout out to SOS and all the other promoters out here who are working hard, the venues, and it's cool. But when I look at a scene, you know, who I've been interested in a long time, and to you know, to hear about the ups and the downs, and to hear about all the good things happening right now, I'm just so stoked for all of you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's nice to hear people speak highly of Syracuse, especially since like Syracuse is not. Like it's a college town, but like we have no real connection to the college. The college really doesn't do anything for the city, and like the city is like, a lot of people are like, yeah, Syracuse is a shithole, Syracuse sucks, and I'm like, I'm not gonna say yes, I'm gonna think it, but like I also think it's like one of the best places in upstate New York because of its potential as a city. Like its potential, actually, you know what, let me rewind that. I think the thing that makes Syracuse one of the best places in like upstate New York is that like because we don't have what the other cities like Albany, Buffalo, Rochester, like Ithaca, like all these other cities that like have like these things to do, these places to go, like we have so much of this like youthful energy that like, you know, we don't have a nightlife that's like really thriving. We don't have like this. The one thing that the university has done well is to keep the fucking like the destructive party mentality isolated on campus, because everywhere else, like it's an area for like the kids that are fucking from here to actually like do something. And that's no dig on anyone who goes to SU that comes to shows, because we have a couple people that do, and that's awesome. I would actually rather kids from SU interact with the city, because the SU like purposefully, geographically, especially with I-81, is purposefully distant from the city for a myriad of reasons, and I'm not going to go into detail. There's like so much I could talk about like I-81 and like the racist redlining that, you know, permeated through the city and all the segregation and whatnot. But it is cool to see that a scene that's actually, you know, as someone who's kind of technically a transplant, but like not because of school. Like I voluntarily moved here because I love the people here and I, you know, loved being here. To see like the scene, like give an opportunity for people from here, to people who grew up in places like Camillus, Liverpool, you know, in the city in general, Cicero, etc., to like be able to like, you know, build a community here, especially when there's not much to do for a young person, and there's a lot of, you know, really bad rabbit holes that a young person can go down in Syracuse. Like there's a lot of crime, a lot of drugs, a lot of, you know, like a huge homicide rate. Like I always like see stuff about like young kids getting shot here, even in areas that are near my house. It's really sad and scary to think about a young kid not having an outlet or not having a community that can call home. And, you know, it's awesome that we can provide that for someone who's like in the most important like stages of their life, you know, even though it is very unorthodox, but like, you know, hardcore has given me so much when I was younger and it's given so many other people so much when they were younger that it's like, it's nice to know that like me, Spat, Lucas, Colin, any of us can like make that same impact on young kids and have like, there's so many kids coming in that are starting bands. There's so many kids that are really diving into the culture. Like, you know, my friend Nate, who like has filled in for Deal with God a couple times, like he's 17 and he's just like real. Like I met him when he was 15 outside of a fucking punk show. He's wearing a fucking Autopsy long sleeve, face full of acne, long hair. I handed him a flyer. And since then he's been to every fucking, almost every show, moshing his fucking ass off. And like, he's now in a new band with members of Deal with God, that they're all actually, I think, just finished recording their demo. They're called Ashara. It's a World of Warcraft reference. I don't know.
Okay. I'm not familiar.
I'm not familiar either, but I think it's called like Ashara. That should be coming out soon. Yeah, and just like seeing like young kids like start bands and like be a part of bands, like, you know, like he was in that band Wound. Wound's not a band anymore, but I'm like stoked that it was, because that was like, you know, the building blocks for like younger kids. And like a lot of the kids in Hidden Streets are like, I think just graduated high school or like in their first year of college or second year of college. So they're all mad young too. That's a whole pocket of people that like didn't have our influence. Like they just started a band and then like I was like, oh, sick, cool, let me record you because I want you guys to have something out. And then they have a demo. So it's like, and now they're playing shows and they're actually, they just got booked in the Hudson Valley. And it's cool because like that was their own, they did that themselves. Yeah. You know what I mean? They were able to just do that shit themselves. Like they, you know, wasn't this incestuous group of musicians that share bands, like every, like, you know, that like my friend group has been for like the longest time. So it's like cool seeing new pockets of people and kids starting shit, and it's not the same group of friends as it was, and that's awesome.
Well, Dylan, it's all we can hope for, right, is to set up the next generation to, you know, keep this going, because, you know, at some point we're not going to be here to, you know, help, you know, push this thing forward. So we got to set up the next generation, and it sounds like you guys are doing a really great job out there in Syracuse, and I'm so stoked for the future of Syracuse hardcore.
Yeah, there's like so much shit that's like on the horizon that's like it's so dope. Like New Year's Day is going to be fucking awesome. There's so many shows already announced that are going to be dope, like Belmore, Adrian, Nomad gig with God's Computer, Deal with God, and Ashara's first show that's happening in November. I got Big Boy coming with Extinction. Extinguished.
Extinguished, yes.
Man, my brain is fucked. That band's dope. Extinguish is fucking dope. And yeah, other like we have Ballistic Axe, which like put out my favorite fucking demo of the year. They're coming through with they're it's just them, but like it's another new band called X Threat, which is a straight edge band. That is like another group of people like Ronan and Apollo who came from the punk scene, and they're starting bands and they're really diving like nose first into hardcore, which is dope. And then I'm trying to think of who else. There's a lot of stuff happening and there's a lot of new stuff like on the horizon that I'm like really excited for. But yeah, a lot I can't announce, but yeah, there's cool shit happening in Syracuse. And then FYA is going to be fucking awesome.
Yes.
And like, I'm very thankful, even though I jokingly say that's a prank, I'm very thankful that Bob really like believe in us to the point that he wants to put us on the fest. He booked us and then he put us on FYA before we even played the show that he booked for us. So I'm like, you still haven't even seen us and you want to sign your fest. Thank you. I don't know what crack you're smoking, but thank you. Thank you for believing in us, because like that was like really a boost in like made us want to go 10 times harder. Cause like we care a lot about Syracuse. We care a lot about like where we're from and the people that, you know, are here. And we want to make sure that like Syracuse hardcore is like consistently strong and hopefully won't have another dip ever again or for a very long time.
Well, Dylan, this is awesome. I'm happy to, you know, have reached out because this was an awesome conversation. I'm really happy to, you know, to hear so many positive things just, you know, like I said, a year and a half later. So I'm super stoked for all of you. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
There's like so much aside from like dope shit that we're doing. There's just like so many like cool ass people that we've just become friends with and like acquainted with like within the past year. Like shout Balmora, Senti, Jay, all those guys are fucking awesome. Means of Survival, Quiet, AOA, all those guys are awesome. Really fucking like love Syracuse and really fuck with us like as people and like at Deal With God as well as a band. I'm trying to think of who else. There's just so many, like Dimension Six, awesome dudes, great people to play with. Warren, always been the homies. Shout out Bizarre Skate Shop. As for Syracuse, Urban Camouflage, fucking Street Hassle, Deal With God, All For All, Hidden Streets, Pure Bliss. Think of who else. I think that's it for Syracuse. Mind Contorted out of fucking Binghamton. Who Decides from Rochester. Taking Meds from Rochester. My boy Skylar in both of those bands. Skylar's also in All For All now. He just joined. Trying to think of who else. There's just so many bands to like shout out, but like anybody who's ever fucked with us, we're always thankful for. Fool's Game, fucking Clemo, and like Ben like day one fucking real deal dudes, and Jacob, like literally like anybody who's ever fucked with us, like we're always thankful for. Yeah, that's all can come to my brain right now. Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's it for my shout outs, I guess. Shout out Key Pizza. Fuck the naysayers. That's the best fucking pizza in Syracuse. I will die on that hill. Shout out Red Chili. Shout out Sahoda. Shout out if you like Indian food, that's the fucking spot. Red Chili is the spot for Chinese food. Trying to think of what else. Obviously Strong Hearts, but like the other places, check those out first. Shout out Dan K, just cuz. And that's it. That's my shout outs.
That's it. All right. Well, I appreciate your time today. It definitely means a lot. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and we'll be back soon. Goodbye.
Peace.